Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor, and we're live from the Mobile C5 studio here in 30A. Ben's in Auburn, Alabama. But we're going to talk SEC Media Days and just kind of, I guess, hash out some of the things that Golish said, how he did. Some people trying to take some of his quotes out of context. The wind here, by the way, is incredible. So if you hear that, there's nothing I can do about it. So hopefully you didn't hear it. All right.
As Bruce Pearl would say, if you hear that, call God.
Call God, yeah. I would say just from the overall, like listening to everybody speak, react to Golish yesterday on the podium, I feel like he did just about everything that he could have done to sort of make himself, not make himself, like make him feel like he belongs.
Yep.
With all these SEC head coaches. Is that you think that's a fair statement?
No, that's a fair statement because you've also got other coaches that are saying that. Not that they're going to bash him because he's a, you know, he's now in the fraternity of coaches, but there's a way to bash coaches without bashing them. And that is they just don't talk about them. They don't mention them.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Heupel's been Golish. You know, there have been other coaches that have talked to some of our media guys that are up there that have mentioned Golish, not necessarily on the air, but have talked, you know, kind of off the air and off the record about him. So the silence would be what bothers me, but the fact that they're even bringing him up lets me know, okay, then he clearly fits in and is one of them, or they wouldn't already be, you know, talking about him, and he wouldn't be on their radar. They just wouldn't talk. They just would take the approach of, we'll find out, come, and they'll mention the date, whenever they play Auburn.
Yeah, they tried to bait him into the total wins, like tell us what a total, like a good season is. They tried to bait him into that. He didn't fall for it, and he pretty much gave one of the lines, I think, of the whole thing, you know, where he said, I don't create goals.
Yeah.
I create
standards.
Standards. So,
well, and Brett McMurphy, I told you off there, you know, he fell short on his quote, and he just put out to his umpteen million followers, he just said, at Auburn, they don't create goals. And I was like, well, that's not what guy said. So he's trying to fish for that natural vibe of getting it from somebody, you know, getting people to click on it and, you know, kind of, and that is the definition of clickbait, because that's not exactly what was said. And so folks will go to his article and click and see what the actual quote is. But, you know, Kyle, if you were grading him, I mean, I don't, if I had to, from a media standpoint, if I had to critique him for what he said, I liked his intro. You know, they get up there and they give him an opening statement. I liked the way he had it prepared, everything he said. Where he fell short, they had to ask him about the three players he brought. Most times the coaches will go ahead and introduce the three players that they brought, so that way it can allow the media to ask questions. I don't know if that was by design or he just forgot to mention who was brought, because that was literally one of the first questions that came up in the media room. They're like, well, talk about the three players that you brought with you this year, coach. And I was like, yeah, he didn't mention that in the open statement. So I guess he's got to touch on it at some point. So that was, and if that's the worst that he did, I got to say, that's a pretty good, at the end of this, I told you, they always say who won media days and who lost. Well, he didn't lose it. So, you know, I don't know if you want to go with he won it, but he definitely didn't lose it.
I'm trying to find the actual post titles, but there was a couple of message boards, Alabama message boards, even where even those guys were like, dang it, this guy, I think he's going to be pretty good. Auburn may have stumbled into one, you know, but then they'll have the caveat that, oh, they'll still screw it up. You know, they're still going to mess it up, but that he feels more real, I guess, as a potentially really good SEC head coach. I don't really know exactly what my favorite thing that he talked about. Do you have a favorite moment that pops out as far as not from the guys, just from Golish? We'll talk about, we got plenty of time to talk about things that the guys say.
Probably when he said, told Chris Doering from SEC Network.
Yeah.
And this was not public, but Chris is the one that released it. What Golish said, I guess it was in a private conversation. And he said, you know, tell your boy Summerall to be ready week three.
Yeah. I guess I'll count that, even though that happened like that. He said that to him like back in Auburn when Chris Doering came to visit, but Doering said it during media day. Yeah. So I'll count that. Tell your boy to be ready week three. That was pretty good. I liked, and I think this is just because I've been saying the same thing for so long about Byron Brown, but I think my favorite part was a guy, I can't remember who it was asking him, like, if Byron Brown at the end of the season is talked about as one of the best players in the country, or we're talking about Heisman or awards or things like that, what does he have to do between now and then to get in that conversation? And he was like, what do you mean? What does he have to do to get in that conversation? He should already be in the conversation. Like, yeah, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country already. I mean, like, what else do you want for him to be in that conversation? I mean, he's look at the production, look at the leadership. He's everything that you could ask for. He's everything you could ask for Auburn football when one of the toughest players on the team is your quarterback. Like, you can do special things. I was just glad for him to, you know, stand up. They didn't talk about stand up for him. They didn't talk about his throwing motion. They didn't talk about, you know, he's an underdog. He's like, nah, man, he's one of the best in the country. Yeah. Like, I don't know what you're talking about as far as, like, he's got to check more boxes.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you and I – and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that he's going to go three in the air and one on the ground, because it's different. It's a different beast at Auburn than it is at South Florida. But it amazes me that people still ask those type questions when you look at his numbers, because it's not like he's just played terrible competition. I mean, they've actually played against good competition. Him taking up for his guys, him talking, he also was very honest, Kyle. Is he, you know, he said that, you know, he plans on having them prepared, but the offensive line got brought up. And he said, look, man, he said, we had to piece that together. I mean, we're having to figure that out. And I think by the time, you know, when we start camp in a couple of weeks, we're going to know where we need to be. And by the time we open up against Baylor, we should be where we're supposed to be. I mean, I don't think you and I can stress enough how big it is, because Byron Brown brought this up in one of his comments too, that the offensive game plan has been implemented. It got implemented in the spring. Yeah. And, I mean, people are still – they're out of all the teams that are at SEC Media Days, I'd say probably four of them have their offensive game plan implemented. And that's because Gunnar Stockton's returning for Georgia, so they probably know what they're going to be doing. Arch Manning, what's his name from Ole Miss, Chambliss, and Auburn.
Can you count him, though? I mean, it's a whole new offense. I mean, sort of.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. I mean, you don't – yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. So,
you think they got everything in at Ole Miss when they changed coordinators?
Probably not. You're probably right. I mean, they probably didn't get it in this. So, it's probably Texas, Georgia, and Auburn. I mean, everybody else is either.
Did either one of those, like, obviously Sark is the offense. So, yeah, I'm with you on Texas. Did Georgia have any personnel changes?
No, because, I mean, they're especially on the offensive side, because you still got Bobo there because his son's a starting center. So, that's, yeah, that's not going to. Georgia's still going to be running the same thing Georgia ran this past year. They may be actually run a little more run heavy, because even Kirby mentioned that in his talks, that he likes his running back room. So they may not ask Gunner to put himself out there to get hurt as much as he did last year. So
you could probably say, I would say Georgia and Auburn have to be the furthest along as far as continuity and amount of offense, like you said, installed. I really tried to – you can't – I mean, yeah, we went through this – we've gone through this before. But under this scenario, yeah, I would say And Texas. Texas, Georgia, and Auburn, for sure.
Yeah. I would – and I – you don't – definitely, you had it right. Definitely Georgia and Auburn, because Texas, I mean, you got Cam Coleman's over there now. They got a couple of other new receivers. They still may not have everything implemented there because they had turnovers. So, because everybody goes, well, Auburn had turnover. Yeah, but Auburn brought theirs with them. Their quarterback and their receivers came with them, along with running back, and then you got Cobb that's still there.
You can figure out the wide receiver piece, and you can figure out the running backs. What's tough is like quarterback and offense.
Yeah,
you know, understanding all the aspects of the offense and understanding all the checks off of it and things like that. Golly, can you hear that?
It's not bad. It looks bad behind you, though. But it's not making a lot of noise.
So there's a tropical. There's like a tropical storm moving through.
Yeah, Bertha's coming through. The big Bertha.
I think she's already through. I think she's already coming.
According to the news, buddy, I'm watching her. She's right.
Well, then we just got like the outer.
Yeah,
we got the outer because the sun's out and it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. So I don't know.
You're getting Bertha's rear end right now, buddy.
Yeah, we're getting Bertha gassed. We're getting gassed by Bertha right now. I don't know. Where were we? Oh, we're talking about continuity and things like that. Yeah, I would say that's a huge advantage. Huge advantage, Auburn. One thing, Ben, another thing that he talked about that I thought I was going to ask you if you could really, like, go back and think of the last true, like, team-led Auburn team. Because he said, you know, a coach can lead a team and you can only win so much. Like, a coach can only do so much. Like, players have to take over at some point in time. And I was trying to think of the last true, just real, like, everybody seemed bought in, and it was a player-led team. I really think
if I had to, and I know this is going beyond it because people are going to say, well, I mean, Cam won a national title, and Cam did pretty much run that locker room at the end. So that would be – he could be used. But I'd probably go back to, you know, Campbell and Eddins and all those guys in that 04 team with Tuberville.
That's the one I got. That's the one I point to because, remember
– it wasn't just one guy. Like,
no. Yes. There you go.
It was – Cam was the alpha and there was everybody else.
Yep.
But in the 04 locker room
– all of them were alphas.
Yeah, they were – I mean, the defensive side of the football was the alpha. And then you had the running backs and you had Campbell, who was a four-year starter at that point in time, or three-year starter at that point in time. So
two and a half, maybe.
Yeah, two and a half. But still, like, that's probably the last team that was a
– you could feel it, man. Like, those guys, like, said, we're not going to the NFL. We're going to come back and we're going to run this thing.
Yep.
You know, we're going to come back and we're going to run this thing. And it's going to be – we're going to be have a team full of leaders, and they did that, and they had them on both sides of the ball. Like you said, you nailed it, and that was going to be my point with 2010. 2010 was awesome, but it felt like it was one guy, and everybody was falling in behind him. And maybe you could say that's player-led. It is literally a player-led, yeah. And there were some other leaders on that team, Josh Bynes, and, you know, maybe you could throw in Nick Fairley there as well. But for the most part, like, everybody pointed – to Cam. And then on that 04 team, though, like, I don't think there was just the one mega alpha. There was a bunch of them. You know, both of the Williams linebacker, Travis and Antarius Williams, like, those dudes were the whole personality, I feel like, of that defense. And you had Junior Rosegreen and Carlos Rogers. I mean, there was a ton of player-led player leadership on that team across the board. And that, to me, is what I think about when I hear Golish as far as what he wants to get to. Obviously, everybody wants to go undefeated. Like, yeah, you want – I'd love to have a 2004 season again. But it's not so much about the results as it is that team makeup inside. That team makeup between the years, like, that's what he's trying to achieve.
And – this got a little bit – this goes to part of the negative of it. I saw some people tweeting about it. I didn't hear this quote. Maybe it's just it was asking the digital room or the media room or the whatever it is. It was not in his opening statement. But because somebody said, oh, he brought up the the 3 or 4 year plan again. That's not what he did. He talked about what you're talking about. He talked about the process, and that's what he was discussing, is the standard and the process has to start with these guys. So that way everybody coming in after them knows what they're getting into when they come to this program. And yep. He said, well, that could take a couple of years for people to realize that that's the expectation. He said, because we are new at this. He said, but it starts with all of our guys now. And like you said, accountability and holding them accountable, because that's what you got out of the 04 team. I mean, to listen, you know, I guess it was either last year or the year before where they brought that team, brought about seven guys from that team in for one of those luncheons that I got invited to go to, and you were able to ask them questions, and they just stood up there and they told stories during the luncheon about that, yeah. about that team. And out of the seven guys that were up there, like all seven of them were leaders, like all seven right. of them were. And Borges was there with them. Borges was one of the coaches that was there on staff that implemented that offense. And he even said that numerous times. He goes, it was the easiest job in the world. He said, yeah. because all I had to do was go to one or two guys and say, this is what I need. There was no rah-rah. There was no getting on to guys. He said, because if you put it in the hands of these guys, and he pointed to all the guys around him, he goes, problems were solved. He's yep. like, it's literally the easiest job I've ever had. And that says a lot. And I think that coaches want it that way. You know, you mentioned Golish saying that, and people go, well, some, you know, it could be lofty. I mean, that's kind of funny. It's his first year. And he's saying, Kirby said the same thing when he did his interviews with SEC, with the SEC network guys. He was like, I'm tired of getting on the guys. He said, I need the locker room to step up. And I mean, he's in year 9 and he hasn't yeah. gotten where it's that way yet. So, no, 11, excuse me. I think year 11 is what Kirby's in. So if somebody like him who's been, and he's still working on getting it there, if Golish can get it there where it's accountability by peer and by player, oh, man, that's a next.
Sky's the limit.
Yeah, it is.
For those that were talking about him pushing it out and saying it's like going to be another 3 to 4 year plan, I mean, he literally said we're plenty talented enough to go win every single game. Yeah. I mean, he literally said that was a quote unquote.
Yeah.
Later on in the press conference. So I thought he did great. I thought the guys did great too. We'll probably go player by player and talk about some of the things they said. I really liked some of the stuff Alex McPherson said. Obviously Champ too. Champ killed it. And then Byram was spectacular. And I think he kind of proved, or at least showed who he is as a leader. And I think people, if they weren't already going to start taking notice of him, I think after this week or after yesterday, there'll be a lot more eyeballs on him.
Well, I visited with my guys this morning on my show. Our guys from our ESPN station are down there. And I just asked him, I said, let's not talk about what he said. What are people saying about Byram?
What he said, yeah.
And yeah. And they said, you know, it's funny watching guys that don't know anything about him, because, you know, media from Arkansas and media from Texas and media from Tennessee, they don't know anything about him. And so, because yeah. They're not Auburn fans, they're not following it. They just know he's a new quarterback at Auburn. I mean, kind of like what you and I've talked about, some of the quarterbacks that are new, you know, like at Leavitt down at LSU. I just know he was hurt, and I know that he's got a lot of offense to implement, and I know that Lane works well with quarterbacks. Other than that, I don't know anything about Leavitt. So, and they said that it's been interesting to see how other media members outside of the Auburn and Alabama bubble are kind of gravitating towards Byram Brown because they're wanting to know more. And yeah. he's a physical specimen too. I mean, that's what I said. I said, well, when he walked down Digital Drive, I'm sure every one of them were like, holy crap, there's a defensive end walking through here. Yeah. And then they realize he's a quarterback. So
he's got aura.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that.
It's funny you mentioned that word, because that was what our guy Christian told me. He was like, oh, he definitely holds court in the room when he walks in there.
No doubt. We'll talk more about SEC Media Days as fall camp draws near.
2 weeks.
2 weeks away. So
That's what Golish kept saying. He was like, I did find it funny. He let it slip at one point in time. This was not in the main room. It was on somebody else. But he said 2 weeks away. He said, I mean, they've been on campus the whole time, but
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, don't tell them how much you've been coaching, coach. Just say that that voluntary workouts have been taking place and they've been going good.
Volunteer workouts.
Those volunteer workouts are going great right now.
Funny story real quick. We had voluntary workouts when I was in high school one summer. And I actually went twice. But what I did was, because I went early and then one of my buddies was like, hey, you want to go work out? I was like, dang it, I already did, but I'll go do it again. But I signed in on the wrong date because you had to come sign in. So we're playing American Legion baseball and yeah. Old football coach comes out there. He's like, hey, a couple of guys didn't show up for workouts. And he talked to one and the guy's like, I thought you said it was voluntary. And he goes, well, it is. It's me playing you next year is voluntary too, you know, kind of thing. Then he's like, where were you this morning? I was like, I was there, coach. I talked to you. He's like, well, you didn't sign in. I was like, I did. I may have signed in on the wrong seat, but you talked to me. And he kind of remembered that we talked, but that just sparked me from a voluntary workout in the summer.
Yeah, you know, you hear it, but that still goes on, man. I mean, Auburn's been good at participating, but you hear about horror stories even in NFL because they do, you know, the OTAs and they do, the quarterbacks.
Dude show up just completely out of shape.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they ain't done any voluntary workouts.
There you go. We're going to get out of here. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again tomorrow. I'm going to get out of this windstorm. Hopefully tomorrow is a little bit more calm. Y'all have a good one. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.